In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. We come today and we commemorate yet another saint on this, the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, which means we are over halfway there, by the way, so be encouraged. And it's interesting because out of the five Sundays of Great Lent, three of them are commemorated to specific saints, today being that of St. John Climacus, who was a 7th century saint and was an abbot of the monastery on Mount Sinai. And even while he was alive, he was incredibly well known for his holiness, even so much so that another abbot from another monastery, who was also named John, had requested him to provide a kind of instructional spiritual writing for his monks that would help them on their spiritual path. So St. John used the imagery of a ladder, basing it off of Jacob's ladder in the Old Testament. And each rung of the ladder would be a step to take, 30 steps in total, 30 rungs in total, climbing up to Christ, to salvation, to perfection. And this is why he is named Climacus, St. John Climacus, meaning of the ladder. And it's been said that for Orthodox Christians, his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, is probably the second most read book for us Orthodox, second to the Bible, of course. And we commemorate St. John of the Ladder, and especially this writing, because it truly is a masterpiece of spiritual instructions that all of us as Orthodox Christians should read. Now, I have to offer a bit of a caveat here, because the language used in this writing is written towards monks and nuns. It's for monastics, the writing is. So it can be frustrating if we just try and pick it up and apply it directly to our lives. But the lessons and teachings are for all of us. But just be patient if you read this reading of the Ladder of Divine Ascent. And I'm not going to take you through all 30 steps. That's your job to do at home. But let's start with step one. And we do that by looking at today's gospel, where we see a man who is suffering with his young son. His son has convulsions. He has no control over his body. He has seizures and throws himself into the water and into the fire. And this father approaches Christ and he tells him about this and says that he even brought his boy to the disciples for healing, but they could not do anything for him. And ultimately asks Christ, "If you can do anything, have pity on us." To which Jesus responds, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." And the father cries out with tears, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." And we can find no better way to express both the fact of our faith's existence, but also of its weakness. And Jesus takes pity on the father. He accepts such a faith as this, and he heals the son. He makes him whole. And even his disciples then ask him, "Why couldn't we do this?" To which Jesus tells them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." Now, when we read this, we cannot make the assumption that prolonged fasting and prayer, repetitive prayer, will suffice in and of themselves to give us some kind of power which the disciples were hoping to possess. Prayer and fasting, in the deepest sense, mean a radical renunciation of self, a concentration of one's soul in an attitude of trust and humility, which leaves everything to the mercy of God, in the submission of our own will to the will of the Lord, placing our entire being in the hands of the Father. And this, my brothers and sisters, is our first step, the very first step that is offered to us on the ladder of divine ascent, renunciation of the world. And it's this cry, that cry of the Father that we hear in today's gospel, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That is how we truly take that first step, that first rung of the ladder. It's because we are not hopeless. We always have faith. And even if faith is shaken up at times, we have to know that to approach anything with a spirit of hopelessness is to make it hopeless. But to approach anything in a spirit of faith makes it a possibility. The good news about being Orthodox Christians is that you are always given something to do. No matter how far up the ladder you think you are, there's always something to work on. There's always more of an ascent to go for. There's always something lacking that you need God to fulfill. Even the disciples, in their inability to cast out the demon, they had been trusting in their own power, in their own pride. But the truth is, they still had steps to take, that they still had some things to do. And the church doesn't care how long you've been here, or how much you think you know about your faith, or how far you've come. The church cares that you are taking these steps, one by one, struggling to move to the next one. And if you've fallen off the ladder, step right back on it. Some of us decide to take a few steps and unfortunately think to ourselves, it's probably good enough. I've made enough of a spiritual investment to should get me in later. While some of us may have gone up quite a few rungs of the ladder, and we look down and we think to ourselves, hey, I'm higher than most others. This is probably plenty. The true Christian keeps struggling to ascend the ladder. No matter how many times he or she falls, we are always pressing forward, always climbing, and always struggling. Brothers and sisters, no matter what rung of the ladder we are on, there are always going to be forces, voices, or thoughts, or temptations, or fears, troubles in this world that will try to get us to fall off. Perhaps they'll even tempt us to take a step down the ladder, to voluntarily descend this ladder of divine ascent so as not to fall from a higher height. But the key here is not to focus on these outer struggles. Don't give too much thought to those other voices or forces, but only focus on that next step. Only focus on the ascent. Only focus on climbing towards Christ's embrace. Yet another reason why step one is so important, renunciation of the world, and step two, just like it, detachment from worldly distractions. Christians renounce the world by living for something other than the world, and we are called to a Christ-centered life, not a world-centered life. Only by keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Christ our Lord, who awaits us at the top, can we hope to complete the climb. Does Christianity have it all figured out? Yes. Does the Christian have it all figured out? No. We need to take it step by step. And these are not steps to take while only at church. These are not just church things to do. We are either always on the ladder or we are off of it. And while the message and the goal of the Christian life is clear and it's simple, follow the person of Jesus Christ, seek and emulate his love in your life, and pray for his mercy and salvation, the attainment of such things are filled with obstacles, and the path is difficult. We are constantly challenged. But in each and every one of these challenges, we continually cry out, whether on step one or on step 30, Lord of my belief, help my unbelief. May our Lord grant us the grace of fighting the good fight, keeping the course, ascending the ladder with him in order to be raised and exalted with him and glorified and deified by him in the everlasting kingdom to come. To God be the glory, now and forever, to the ages of ages. Amen.